let me tell you about a man that I have met. They call him Captain, or Wizard, don't forget. CJ Morgan's his name, and he wanted to start a show, so we did. Now you're listening to him on that dang old radio.
I have to start today's program with, you know, there's a lot of bands that listen, I assume, because we have all the CDs sitting in the break room. Enough with your weird stuff. Enough. And this mainly goes out to you, Madonna. But stop with your weird stuff. You can't do that.
What's she up
it's
to
not
now?
All about, I guess it is all about you, if people are paying to fill a center to see it. She did two nights in Austin, and I know at least one night she didn't go on until 10:38.
Right.
Which at first I saw, we had a lot of coworkers there, a lot of the young ladies, a lot of the middle-aged ladies, a lot of the grandmas, quite frankly, were here to witness Madonna. And I saw at like 12:45, they were posting, and I was like, damn, she's still playing? That's rad. However, I didn't realize people sat at the Moody Center until 10:38 before she came on.
It was advertised as being a 10:30 show, though.
No, it wasn't.
The people I knew that were going were talking about it a week beforehand, about, oh, she's doing this thing where she has DJs beforehand and then she comes on at 10:30. Because I was like, man, I can't even fathom going to a show in the middle of the week that starts at 10:30.
I didn't see that, but either way.
Get your facts straight, bro, before you start essing on Madonna,
well,
dude.
That's not even, she will come for you, bro. Madonna has hitmen.
I know.
I'm too old for Madonna. Just dating young guys now. Anyhow, that's not even the main problem. And other people have done this as well.
Being late, you mean?
No AC. It was warm.
Yeah.
No air conditioning.
Yeah.
So it was
party.
With all that body heat, it got up to the 80s. So you have all these ladies that got dressed up, went out on the town, and were sweating their asses off for the whole show.
Do you know who Kyle Shutt is? He's the ripping, face-melting guitarist for The Sword. I saw him tweet out that he was buying tickets to go a second night. It was the greatest pop arena show he'd ever seen.
I don't doubt it. Like, just looking at what people were posting,
it
looked incredible.
For 20 years, toured the nation, toured with Metallica, and was just like, nah, bro, this is what it's all about right here.
I
love that.
I don't get the whole...
Are we getting a little FOMO, or are you just envious you didn't go?
No, not at all. I would have liked to have gone, but I just don't get the no AC thing. Like, is it... Like, yeah, you do Bikram yoga and crap, but don't make your audience uncomfortable and miserable.
It is insane, isn't it?
It's a little weird.
I want a lazy boy at any concert I go to. So the idea of like, hey, get up, let's have a good time, let's dance. I'm like, no, hey. You don't tell me how to enjoy
you. I
want to
sit back and relax. I get it a little bit, like around the floor maybe. Maybe it's good for her movement and vocal cords, but... Come on, man. It's an arena. It's already hot in there with everything blasting, like at least in the upper sections. Like, let the air flow. There was no air flow. That's the other problem. It wasn't like there's just no AC. There's no fans. None of the big sweat things they have at UT football games. You know, the giant circular fans that are bigger than the drum.
Okay.
None of that.
Yeah.
It's like enough with your crap.
Okay.
I mean, have you ever noticed something? If you walk upstairs... We have the company is probably 80% ladies,
and they were all at that show.
And have you noticed something about the backs of all their chairs?
They have padding and cushions and blankets,
they have sweaters wrapped around it because they all are always cold.
Ladies do tend to run cute.
So if this was an all ladies show, then I think what Matt's saying
is part of it is she was just like, "Look, people don't want to bring sweaters to my concert. Let's get it to a good temperature in here so that all the office ladies are comfortable."
Plus, have you ever been to a big concert not on drugs? Don't drugs make sweating way cooler?
Like, I guess so.
It's much less of an issue when you're drinking. You're just like, "Ah, that's sweat."
Now, speaking
if you're high, you're like, "Oh, that's sweat, bro."
I love it so much. Speaking of sweaty drug concerts, Coachella went off without a hitch, I guess, except for Grimes. Grimes decided to do a DJ set with her music, and
it went well.
For some reason, the beats per minute were off, and she couldn't fix it, so she was just throwing a temper tantrum on stage. And a lot of like professional DJs were like, "That's why you don't," or mashup artists and stuff like, "That's why you don't do this. This is our job."
I don't know, practice beforehand. Get used to your equipment. Like,
have a backup plan. Like, even when I started DJing to make fun of DJs, and then I enjoyed doing it, but, you know, I can pull up Spotify in a second if something goes wrong.
Oh, man. I will have my phone connected.
I will do something.
I would love to see you throw a tantrum at Kite Fest when you DJ this awesome.
Those kids would love that. What are those words, Mom?
And they would. And for some reason, my mic's on. If you want to do it cool, do it like Lana Del Rey. She came in on a motorcycle. She left on a motorcycle. And I'm going to say, I've seen Lana Del Rey at festivals, and it is sleepy time. It is not easy. She's incredible. Yeah.
It's not Lizzo. It's not Lana Del Rey.
No, it's very dramatic and slow, but she still brought the energy in her very low, sad way, and that was good. So my advice to Madonna, who's not known for being pretentious, so I don't get why she did this, is keep the air flowing, show up on time, all right? You're not Lauryn Hill.
I don't want to argue, but she did speak with a fake British accent for 10 years all of a sudden. So when you say she's not known for being pretentious,
she's a woman of the people.
Many people,
if you believe the articles. Anyhow, go do good shows and have Spotify ready to play. That's my
advice. Turn on the air conditioning.
Motorcycle too.
Little about Tom Brady is more bold day.
Today we celebrate Crawfish Day.
Oh my God.
I can't do that accent like you can. Can you?
That was so good, dude.
Matt, will you be a coon ass real quick and announce that today's the greatest because it's crawfish?
No. We'll get some more bugs.
No, dude.
We'll get them more bugs, boy.
We're going to just do that.
I got my scrimps, my more bugs, my mushrooms and potatoes and my goo-boo. I'm going to rue it. Roll on, bon ton volé.
You know.
My mud bugs.
Did somebody hit you in the head with a shovel? What's going on?
I've got a bunch.
I got a mouthful of mud bugs.
I spent a good, I don't know, maybe 10 years of my life in Louisiana. And a lot of my relatives are through and through Cajun. And I am going to pop this out of the podcast and send it to them because I want to tell them, hey.
I kiss him, man, my cousin.
I said, this is how my coworker thinks you all
we
sound.
We got all of our scrimps.
It's not good, but I can see where you're headed, and you have the right sensibility.
Yeah, okay, thank you very much.
You have the right attitude, that's for sure.
Do you think the movie Gummo was about that entire area?
No, I don't remember them talking in those ads. There was definitely Southern
besides
town.
The accent, but yeah.
Anyhow, I mean, they were drowning cats in barrels of water.
If you're tired of me S-ing all over Cajuns, how about I S all over Crawfish Day? Not that great. Crawfish. Not into it.
Never even heard. Okay, crawfish is excellent, and crawfish balls are excellent.
The crawfish boils are excellent because it's community. You're hanging out. Yeah, yeah, you get some sausage and taters and mushrooms in there.
Ooh, that's my favorite. It was a little corn cob.
Yeah, it was always fun to watch my neighbors, the Dajiro brothers, argue over making it because one would start putting stuff in. They would stay up all night, and I'd hang out with them, and they would always fight. All night long, they were fighting over when they were making it for a boil, but it's just not that great. It's a lot of work for little bits of meat that doesn't taste that good. You're basically it's a delivery device for sauce and butter.
The problem you got there is that you ain't peeled enough, because when you peeled enough, it ain't a lot of work. You know what I'm saying? All you got to do, you got to pop them tail, y'all.
Yeah.
The thing is, when I was growing up, the same way that you would go for a burger or you'd go for tacos, we used to go to crawfish places. It wasn't like a boil, like where, you know, everybody has to take over someone's backyard or whatever. You just went to a restaurant. It had a bunch of picnic tables in it, and they just brought out. It was always all you could eat.
Yeah.
And the other thing that hurts about crawfish now is now that they're so popular.
It's so expensive, and it really fluctuates on the season.
Yeah, but back in the day, it was just a byproduct of your rice fields, so you were getting rid of it. So you'd go to a place like...
you would make a little of that dirty rice with your moo-boo.
Right. Reds, we used to go to in Abbeville. And all you did there, it was $10 a person, and it was all you could eat, and then buckets of beer.
Well, what about
you're hanging out, and you're just eating, but they bring out tray after tray after tray. And then on the floor, every once in a while, they would come up, and everyone would have to lift your feet, and they would just spray down. The floor was concrete. They'd just spray down the floor while you were sitting there. It was fun.
As it should be. Every restaurant should be like that. No, I should be able to throw my stuff on the floor.
What about Chris Paul hitting them trees when he played with the New Orleans Hornets?
See, that's how
I
they know,
but
talk.
I have to. It takes me a second because I actually have to translate what you're saying in my brain.
It's a real actual language,
real words.
Listen, I enjoy the festivities of getting together at a crawfish boil, and you know what? I do kind of have a formula. It's four. You pop four, and you have four little meats on the side, and then you eat the four meats. So it's like you've done all the good work. Suck one head and you get the extra spice. But if you start popping and collecting meat on the side, if you do more than four crawfish, the meat will get cold and it's not and gummy.
Oh, that's a good strategy.
Good. So you do that.
All I do is just eat the vegetables. I'm not even worth that much effort.
Just eat the actual shells and like sunflower seeds, spit them out afterwards.
Gross.
I guess, you know what, it's not that bad. I think what ruined it for me is we had some other neighbors that did a crawfish boil that... They were the flop, the trap house, and I've told the story before, but they left their trash bin, their recycling
that's
bin,
the worst part.
Their compost the bin filled to the brim with shells and trash that didn't get emptied because the trash guy's like, that's not, I'm not emptying that. And so it just made the whole neighborhood smell of rotten seafood. Cats loved it, I'm sure. And they had a plethora of cats in that house. I mean, boarded windows, foil over whatever windows were open.
It's probably a pretty good crawfish boil then.
I mean, it was a hell of a party. The whole neighborhood did show up because we all wanted to know what was going on at that place.
And that was the thing about when I was growing up in Louisiana, that you didn't have that problem with the shells. Because at the end of every meal, all the shells were collected. They were put in a bag. And then everyone in Louisiana on every, usually like Monday or Tuesday.
Would have
all
sex
the
with them.
No, you go and you take them to Mississippi and you just dump them on Mississippi.
And then the gator going to get them. And then you screw that gate.
Hey, thanks for listening to the CJ Morgan Show podcast. I appreciate you very much, all few of you that still remain. But hey, a little bonus for you. Podcast listeners only can text in this keyword, and podcast listeners only will be selected. Few of you to win tickets to see Idols at Moody Amphitheater May 21st. I'm also setting up something with promotions to where podcast listeners who text in the secret podcast keywords will be put in our bin of like, hey, we need people to, we have extra concert tickets basically. Still working that out. I'll figure it out. Spencer's giving me a look like, oh, God damn it, more work for me. Because I forget a lot, don't I? Okay. Hey, your word to go see Idols at the Moody Amphitheater May 21st, podcast code only is going to be what Spencer put in here. He typed out something that says five pairs of tickussies. So text me.
Oh, that's tickussies?
Tickussies. T-I-C-K-U-S-S-I-E-S, tickussies. To 512-835-1115 is your secret podcast only code. While you're here and there, please rate us. Tell friends to subscribe to us, even if they don't listen, and give us a review. That's what same as rating. Whatever, dude. I don't care, man. Just win tickets.
Who gets to choose where you're going to weekend?
It's time for Parent Pickup.
It's the Parent Pickup with the dad of all dads, Matt Bearden.
Yay.
Welcome, Father.
There's a letter in the Washington Post this week. A woman is asking if her and her co-parent, her ex-husband, should be the ones choosing their custody schedules, or if they should allow their child to choose the custody schedules. And
That's tough.
I don't think it's that tough at all. I think parents do it. I mean to be anti the kid. I was a kid who was. I guess what was that the term we use now? Co-parenting.
Yeah. Did you have?
Why can't we just go back to the old-fashioned broken home? That's where I came from.
Well, you had a mom that was kind of neurotic. You had a dad that was very authoritarian. So did you didn't have that extra parent that was like, hey, when you're coming over to Uncle CJ's, it's potty time. I don't know why I told you that as a boy, but did you have one place where you preferred to stay, where all your stuff was, where the rules were a little bit more loose, or did it kind of suck no matter what?
No, I mean, it was fine no matter what. It's my parents. When you're a kid, you don't really, they're your parents. It's just the way it is. Now, I would occasionally say stuff like, I've got stuff going on this weekend, and can you talk to dad and see if he can do next week? I mean, they were never jerks about it, but part of it, too, is I think kids still really, really, really desire structure, and they desire rules, and I think there's this... Look, I don't have any background. I'm not a child psychologist, any of those things. But I think there's sometimes this new desire to let our kids run our lives. And I don't think it actually works for anybody.
No. We do require structure.
We do. All of us do, first of all. But kids, even more so when you're growing up and those crazy emotions and thoughts are happening.
Yeah, and then also be in charge of where you're going to be with your parents. And what? Look, We can all just be reasonable about it. How about that? Sometimes the schedules that are laid out aren't great for the kids or aren't great for a parent, in which case parents, co-parents, should be able to be adult enough, even if they've had a horrible divorce, enough to say, hey, what's best for our kids is what we have to be concerned about right now, and I need you to move 2 days, and I will move 2 days, whatever.
Just because you don't want to make the harder decisions doesn't mean you should put it all on your kids to do it, right? Like,
good point, Spencer.
You're in this situation.
I'm glad you brought that up, because it does kind of make sense that way. Plus, you never know if the adult's manipulating them or one place sucks. Like, I remember I had a best friend as a kid, and it sucked, because we'd stay the night a lot, and when it was his dad's weekend, it sucked because I would have to stay the night with him. We'd go to his dad, still kind of in the neighborhood, but it sucked because no matter what day it was, we had to go to church early in the morning, and it was a Pentecostal church, so it was really weird. And it was just like his dad and his grandpa were super sweet, loved him, but
religious.
Every time, staying the night wasn't fun because you had to get up at 6 a.m., get dressed, and go to church.
And now, it's so awkward because you're one of the new people in the congregation, so they got to bring you up. Come up on stage, new kids.
I forgot about that. You had to go up and introduce yourself and like say stuff.
Like, I'm not even going to be here next weekend, okay? Can we just forget about this?
Oh, God. I hated doing that stuff.
Yeah, I get so. Now, did his dad live in a house or did he live in a sad dad apartment?
No, he lived in a house.
Okay, when my parents split, my dad went to a sad dad apartment. And we'd go there. And I guess that was kind of interesting because, like, he didn't have any furniture yet. So my sister and I just slept on the floor in what was, I guess, to be the living room. This isn't meant to sound negative. Like, I mean, this stuff is kind of like funny to me looking back on it. You know what I mean?
A little adventure. You're like, I get to go sleep on the floor.
I'll tell you what was
he
rad.
He didn't have a TV. He just had, like, a what we used to call a boombox back then. Nice. And so we would just listen to, like, overnight radio or something. Oh, that's how awesome. I learned about Phil Hendry.
Now, on the flip side, what was rad is I had a couple of friends, one specifically in middle school, that had the mom that moved into an apartment. And we kind of got to do what we want. Like, one of the things I remember, she would buy us CDs that, Soundgarden or Green Day, whatever, that had the parental thing. So we would always listen to music. This is probably middle school. And one of my friend's moms married this older rich dude eventually, and he lived in a country club, a gated and on a golf course. And so we would stay the night over there, and it was just, you had the stepdad trying to impress the kid, the mom trying to make things normal. So we got to do whatever we wanted. Yeah. And it was rad.
Co-parenting, it can really fix a divorce. Because the friends I know that have worked it out, some of them live back together again. Not dating even. They're just living together in a house as their kid has this thing going back and forth. But when it's worked out, my wife and I sometimes are very envious of our divorced friends.
And y'all want to date. Y'all are like, honey, we should get a divorce.
Yeah, they're like, hey, 1 week I'm really focused on parenting. And then 1 week I get to do whatever I want. And I'm like, I want a week where I get to do whatever I want.
I bet they hook up more than married couples, too. It's time to drop some Plinko chips. I lost this week's sports bet. We have all new, brand new punishments. Matt is going to read those. I'll explain what the punishments are. But first, as a man of my word, I don't even think we settled the issues with our bets and debts last week, but you did somehow throw up changing the name of the show for a week or two. And I want you to know I'm a man of my word. Look at the official at CJ Morgan Show Twitter. What does it say?
It says Matt Bearden's the CJ Morgan Show. Love it.
It works. Anyhow, Matt, check out the new Plinko punishments we have today.
Okay, and first thing I see is 10 to get in. Explain it.
10 to get in, usually you would have to pay $10 and then you don't have to do the punishment.
Right.
If, unfortunately, one of the two Plinko chips drops on 10 to get in, it means you have to pay 10 bucks for the right to do a punishment. So you're losing 10 on top of being punished.
Okay. 10 to get in. Bean bath, which is self-explanatory. That's a bath and a bucket of beans.
Yep, absolutely.
Refried, preferably.
Mini fig mash.
Yeah, you get to go and take one of my Lego mini figs, and we have to destroy it with a hammer.
Just one?
The wench drench.
I'm going to dress in a corset like a medieval wench, and Matt's going to soak me with water.
Love it. Flop a hot dog. We know it's an old school fun for us. Lego my Lego.
You're going to go into my office here at work. You're going to pick one of my Lego sets, which I actually happen to have very old, like my Black Seas Barracuda pirate ship, a couple of forts. I have Helm's Deep. Matt's just going to grab it, and he gets to destroy it. He gets to just toss it up in the air and drop it on the floor.
I hope you don't land on that, because that won't make me feel good. Glizzy drizzle.
Glizzy drizzle, we're going to take a hot dog, put it on the end of a drill, And I'm going to clean my teeth with it.
Sounds good. Finally, I am K-Holio. I'm assuming that has to do with ketamine.
Yes, it is a combination of Beavis and Butthead and ketamine.
Oh, so you got to do ketamine and then do a cornholio.
I am cornholio!
Yeah.
Impression?
You, when you say that, quick question. Have you ever done ketamine? Because you're not going to... You can just yell. Weak people can hear you.
Yeah.
He got up to already. Yeah.
Yes, I have, and I enjoyed it.
Okay.
In fact, I enjoyed it so much.
Is that why it's on the list?
I was doing it in powder form, and I enjoyed it so much that I decided not to get any more because I enjoyed it so much.
Yeah, I had it at a hospital one time. I was there for when I thought I was dying.
Yeah, you did medically induced.
Yeah, and I gotta say it was wonderful. But the last thing I could even imagine doing is summoning enough of myself. Since I had destroyed my ego, summoning enough of myself to even do an I Am Cornholio. It was fantastic. I probably shouldn't say that because it'll encourage people.
Drugs are also bad. And you don't know if you're actually getting it. Matt was in a hospital having it medically induced.
It was weird, too, because I was in an ER.
At ACL Fest.
There was a cop sitting right there, and I was like, this is very weird that you're giving me ketamine, and there's a cop there, and he can't do anything. But it takes away a lot of the paranoia that you're doing something wrong when the doctor's there and the cop is there. CJ has both of the chips ready. He's dropping them. Boom. There goes the first one, and it's running down the middle. Now, it's going almost straight down the Plinko board, and it's landed in the winch drench where he'll dress up in a corset, and I'll get a chance to drench him. And right next to that is a flop, a hot dog.
Now,
he'll hang a hot dog between his legs, and he has to try to swing it up into his own mouth.
Now, I'm going
to
bring this up as an issue. CJ, I did see you kicking on the Plinko board as if, you know, someone who's trying to tilt a pinball machine or shuffle around maybe a vending machine. How do we feel about cheating? Because it was headed toward the Lego, my Lego minifigures.
With that. No, actually, the reason I gave it a little nudge is I was worried it was going to stack on top of the winch drench.
Oh.
And because last week, I think Matt got one stuck. They've been kind of sticking. Our Plinko board, I found out by the dumpster, has seen better days. It's now covered in blood and broken, so I was kind of tipping it that way it wouldn't just freeze.
I will accept that lie.
All right. It's not a lie. I mean, it's what I did. Also knew it would give y'all something to talk about.
There you go.
Let's vote at CJ Morgan Show or text us at 512-835-1015. Which punishment would you like to see me enact? The wench drench, dressing as a medieval wench and soaked in water, or the flop a hot dog where I tie a hot dog to a string and try to use my crotch to flop it up into my dongy old mouth. And we're going to enact the punishments this week. We're actually going to make it happen. We're going to do them. And we want you to let us know. Go to Twitter. Go to Instagram. Vote at CJ Morgan Show. You'll notice it's Matt Bearden's The CJ Morgan Show there.
Yes.
Let us know what punishment you like. Feeling sleepy, having trouble getting over that hump? Here are the top foods to eat that'll give you energy.
I'm getting very concerned with the integrity of our organization here.
CJ,
you have gained, 50 pounds of fat. The man is carrying around trash bags filled with Mexican foods.
CJ is fat!
It's a special rendition of CJ's Fat. I discovered all on my own doing clinical research trials called clicking on the internet. The top three things to eat, types of foods, if you want to have energy.
Oh, sweet.
Yesterday, we had our friend come in and drop off some yerba mate, which she then said it's yerba mate.
Yeah.
And I reminded her that, like, back in the day, Spencer and I were drinking three a day.
Yeah, it was
and
bad.
She's like, oh, my God! Anyhow,
I would wake up standing up. It was weird.
Yeah, we're low energy, boys, and I found some stuff that actually helps you, but then realized this is all the stuff I snack at before I go to bed.
Yeah.
I make snacks with a peanut butter and honey sandwich with almonds.
Mm.
Does that sound like a good before bed snack? No, that sounds like I'm about to go run a marathon. Not good, but good for you, dude, the next day. Because you don't have one. Anyhow, let's get to it. Number one, snacks to eat.
I got them. I got them good, didn't I?
Well, let's start there. Number two, high fiber foods. Fruits, vegetables, grains, and nuts. Great things to eat before bed. If you get the sweet and sassy mix from HEB, you can eat that before bed and have energy and heartburn, but it's delicious.
The what? The sweet and sassy. Wait.
Yeah, it's a sweet and sassy mix.
Can I say something? When it says like eating nuts, I think it probably means like a handful of walnuts. Probably not
an entire bag. Yeah,
well, probably not a highly processed.
Super salty. Maybe.
When they're talking about fruit, I also don't think that they mean like
sugary dried fruit. No. Yeah. They mean fruits. They mean vegetables, grains, and nuts. They're very helpful early in the day. So you eat those kind of things early, and it fuels your body and helps you going. Whereas I've been eating milkshakes, which will fuel you for a minute.
Well, you could switch to maybe a strawberry milkshake.
This is a cheater's list, too, because when they say, here are three things, I want there to be something specific, like a peach. Like, peach is the best thing. Instead, they're like fruits, grains, nuts. So, like, did you just mention all food as one item? What are the next two items going to be?
It did. Heart-healthy fats, meaning...
what does that mean?
You eat a pig heart. Stupid.
That's not fat. That's muscle tissue.
No, it's unsaturated fat found in things, again, like nuts, seeds, avocados, and dark chocolate.
Count. They're just renaming number two.
They pretty much are. All right, let's figure out number one.
Is this an AI wrote this or somebody that doesn't know how to count?
Probably. This is according to CNBC, news. Number one, complex carbohydrates, things like fruit, nuts, wheat bread.
Wheat bread,
you mean grains? Grains wasn't the first thing.
Brown rice, beans, and potatoes. They break down more slowly than simple carbs because they're complex. And you'll get an energy boost that lasts longer. Also, just some potatoes without anything helps your tummy.
I want a job. I mean, I'm sure this was something where like somebody just got hired and they're like, go write this article. But that really was three items that were all kind of the same, and they just were mentioning all food.
It's all this health stuff is always kind of vague because no one knows, man. We're all gonna die, so you might as well live it up, bro.
I wish they would just
have milkshakes for breakfast. That's probably one thing.
Yeah, a milkshake, eight coffees, and a tramadol, and you're good to go for the day.
Gross.
Yeah, make sure to space your ADD meds and tramadol, or you'll have a seizure, though.
All right. Also, make sure to space your ADD meds and your radio show. One person in this room forgets to do that sometimes.
No, I don't. No, but I don't.
That's the no, I don't alarm. What, Spencer?
What?
Are we done being healthy here?
I don't know why you called it an alarm. I just don't understand what's happening right now. I just got confused by a list of supposedly three things. And now, I don't know, dude. I just end the segment.
I have energy.
Dude,
and I'm doing good.
Go to a song. We've lost it. We've lost control.
I have energy alarm. Severe weather's on the way, but first, topping this afternoon's Right Now's news. Large women graduate from APD all 10s. Sorry, I read that wrong. It's the largest APD cadet class to graduate with 10 women. The Austin Police Department has welcomed 39 cadets, which is awesome. We definitely need more officers. It's been a big problem for a long time. 10 of the cadets are ladies, so again, the largest contingent of women cadets we've ever had. And here's to the best of luck getting in and getting out. Congratulations, ladies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did a great job.
Cool.
I did that story because I wanted to make the large women all 10s joke. So, but again, it is nice to see that when I get pulled over, it'll be busted. Finally, I'll get a flirt to get out of a ticket like my fiance does. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well.
Doesn't work that way, it turns out. It turns out it actually makes them very, very upset.
I'm really sad to hear that they are graduating new cadets. With the much lower amount of police that are available to police the streets, they haven't been pulling me over for my inspired inspection sticker for quite some time.
Yeah, dude.
And I've thoroughly been enjoying that freedom.
Here's what I do. The human eye is attracted to movement, so start fiddling with your, across your windshield, your visor. But that might just make them look at you.
Yeah, they're going to be like, why is he hiding weed in his visor?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, good point.
I just go over the speed limit.
I just buy a new vehicle whenever it comes time to do that. My last one was 2 or 3 years.
I literally had a cop the other day look at my inspection sticker and give me a look where he was just like,
come on, dude.
Like, you know better. But he didn't do anything. We were at a light. And I thought, well, I guess when I move, he's going to get behind me or something. And he never did. I think he's just like, hey, look, there are only 6 of us in the entire city. I don't have time to write you a ticket for you being an idiot.
Honestly,
I got to get to lunch.
I don't think those are as big of deals as they used to be. I think you'll get a ticket if you get pulled over for speeding or something. They don't look for it like they used to. And if you have a newer vehicle, I don't think they look for it at all. However, if you're driving through San Marcos or around Georgetown, if you're in a college town, That is a number one.
Well,
College Town, but not like Austin
or Williamson County.
I mean, if you're around, if you're around campus,
you know what I mean.
Well, I'm saying that's why I said Georgetown around the. If you're around campus, then it might be an issue. But in
Austin, I thoroughly believe that the inspection sticker used to be a predication for just being able to ask you other questions about stuff.
Sure, sure.
And I speak to this because I used to get pulled over four or five times.
Really?
per sticker. Yeah, I was really bad about it. Always have been really bad about it. And I would get pulled over and they'd be like, you know, I'm going to give you a warning. Well, I would just leave the warning. I was like, all right. And then I wouldn't get around to it. Then I would get popped again. And then, you know what I'm saying.
See, the warning to me was always like, or once I actually got the ticket, you could usually go and get it overturned by the judge once you show you got the inspection, registration, all that. Because you used to have two stickers. But I did it one time, and it was like 5 years between. And he's like, no, I'm not. It's like, I'm not. You still have to pay the fine. And it's been 5 years since you've done this.
Half of a decade.
It was also a good reminder to change the oil in my truck at that point.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Hey, the ticket is a reminder. I need to do a little bit of car maintenance.
Mentioned that severe weather's on the way. We're going to have a rainy, stormy, gross weekend.
Really?
Wait, now I'm questioning myself. You sounded... confused.
Well,
by
I'm
it.
Not telling you no. I don't oh. know otherwise. I just didn't know that it was supposed to be rainy, gross,
yes,
wet.
Yes, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we're going to get rain, especially Saturday, up to a 90% chance. And this
Are you
just,
kidding me?
This just didn't rain. It's thunderstorm weather.
Yay! I love when lightning strikes right down the street and it scares the F out of me.
We had another branch come down around my neighborhood and lost power just with the windstorm that happened earlier. So, luckily... thanks to all the stuff that's happened, I was ready for it. But it was a very bizarre, haunting thing where, like, the big stuff, the AC, certain things went out, but not all the lights went out. They kind of flickered like there was still power
yeah,
in there.
Yeah.
But now some of the things in my house don't work.
Well, now your house is haunted by a spooky ghost.
Oh, yeah, because spooky ghosts see those lights flickering and they're like, this is a good place to haunt.
They're drawn to it. They're like,
ooh,
oh, great.
They already have spooky lights?
Half the work's already done. I'm going to haunt these lights.
Well done. So get ready
Matt,
for
you
the
recently
crap weather.
Had sort of a rough time, didn't you? Your power and stuff went out with the thunderstorms.
Yeah, well, an old pole fell down, and then it ripped the cords out of all the rest of the poles. So, but that wasn't really a tough
time. Something to look forward to, I guess.
I'm sad that it's going to rain on Saturday, though.
Why? You have an event.
I've got shows at Moon Tower. And,
so here's the deal. Go on.
Well, just I'm at the Moon Tower Comedy Fest, and then sometimes because you got to walk from venue to venue, it can lower your turnout.
Well, not just that. Austin's one of those places where if the weather's if it's windy and sprinkling, you're like, I'll just stay home today.
Right.
You might have $100 tickets you paid to go see a show. $100. How are you getting tickets that cheap these days? but you're just gonna stay home because it's sprinkling. Well, good luck, Matt. Moontower Comedy.com is not a website. You have to go to austintheater.org/moontower- comedy
you can
dash.
Put Moontower Comedy Fest.com and you can go right there.
Okay, we'll see. Anyhow, Matt has a show. Go see him.
Did you know?
Welcome to the fact learning fun segment of the show. I'm going to start off with something not fun, and y'all just tell me if we should veto it because it's kind of depressing. It involves NASA. Right. It involves an accident.
Uh-oh.
And it involves the astronauts actually surviving until impact, which is something that we...
Oh, no, that's not what... I know what it is, and that's not what we want for Did You Know?
It's happened a couple... Okay, what about this?
That sounds
Did
really...
Did you know?
Sad.
100% of Iceland's population has the internet. The only country in the world to do so.
Wow.
That's why you get so many like, hello, I am the Prince of Iceland.
What are you talking about?
I need some small monies from you. Will you transfer me euro?
Oh.
No, Iceland's pretty rad. Also, remember when they kicked out all the bankers?
No.
Well, they had
after 2008.
So, this isn't a did you know. This is like, I think, might I assume? They had an issue. They had a financial crisis around when we did, and instead of bailing them out and saving them, they said, you're exiled, buddy.
Go ahead and leave.
Get out of Reykjavik.
You're not welcome here. I actually have a Iceland did you know as well, if you don't mind skipping.
Can we skip you, Matt?
Sure.
Okay.
Did you know?
Oh, my God.
Iceland, as a country, smokes the most cannabis per capita than anywhere else, with 20% of the population considering themselves regular tokers.
Good job.
It is a volcanic island. Everything is smoking there when you
I
think about
so,
it.
I suppose so, yeah. Plus, 100% of them are on the internet, so go figure.
Did you know?
Ah.
Going to another island, Japan, Sony In Japan, Sony is primarily an insurance company. Electronics, not their main source of income in Japan.
Did not know that.
Did not know that either.
Huh. Now we know.
Right? Good job. Yeah. Did you know? You seen this? You heard about this? Face symmetry. One of the reasons our faces are asymmetrical is due to our sleeping patterns, because we sleep and mash up our faces. Have you ever heard of the Uncanny Valley? Not AI, but the essential in video gaming, in animation, and that kind of technology that the even in VR, you can't get people right, and it's because we're too symmetrical, and so it freaks us out when we see something that's too real.
Right.
But I didn't know that. I didn't know that we often have asymmetrical faces because we sleep on it. Is that the same with women's honkers? That they mash one down, and that's why one's always lower or bigger than the other?
Dude, I don't know, man.
Boobs are great.
We don't know.
Did you know? REM has a song, Man on the Moon. Yeah, they do. Guess what? The Man on the Moon lyrics repeat that yeah a whole lot. Here's why. Michael Stipe, good friends with Kurt Cobain from Nirvana. Kurt Cobain had a habit of just placing the word yeah in Nirvana songs when he wasn't sure. So like, yeah. So as a joke, Michael Stipe recorded the song and then said, hey, this song has one more yeah in it than yours. And it was done as a joke. He wrote it as a joke.
And it turns out it became a very popular song.
Ask me if this fact is true.
Is it true?
Yeah.
In radio, I do,
did you know?
Scientists discovered a deep sea dragonfish that has chlorophyll in their eyes. The Pentagon began funding research for inexpensive night vision eye drops. That probably blinded a lot of people at some point. Pentagon, not always the best. Look up Sidney Gottlieb. He's a piece of crap. And that's what I know. But we got to know some more things. Let's end on something fun.
Let's see. Did you know?
Do we know?
If you add saffron or turmeric to mayonnaise, you can no longer legally call it mayo in the U.S.
Oh, what is it then? Aioli? Or secret sauce?
That's too many questions. That's all I got.
You're right.
Sorry.
Okay. Remember, it's just the facts.
Just the facts. Hey, did you know? This isn't a did you know, but that rotten fish in Iceland, pretty gross.
Oh, like the delicacy? Excuse me, the ecstasy.
Yeah, it's a shark.
That's part of our new segment we're doing called Pretty Gross. You just throw out something that's kind of gross.
Pretty gross. Rotten
gross.
Shark. Pretty gross. You ever had that rotten shark? Not good.
Stinks.
Did you know Iceland is more green and Greenland is more icy?
Oh.
They called it that to trick people to try to move there. Or something like that. Who owns Greenland? Canada? Us? Canada, right?
Trump bought it.
Yeah, didn't Trump? He offered to buy it from Canada. Good point.
Eugenics. It's not just for the 1900s anymore.
Greetings, listener. It is now time for Weird or Wired.
Is it weird? Is it wired? Matt Bearden's our resident scientist. We're going to talk eugenics, which is the study people doing it.
No,
watching him.
That's not eugenics at all.
Oh, is it the brain one, or that's forensics? No, forensics is discovering murders.
You're thinking of phrenology, when people would measure people's heads and say whether they were smart or not. No, eugenics is about good genes. It's kind of like what the Nazis were practicing.
Yeah.
How do you spread genes, right? Isn't that through, like, sexing it up? Or
I go to JCPenney's. That's where I get good jeans. Levi's on sale. Two for buy one, get a pair 25% off.
What do you go, 550s?
CJ Morgan Show, Weird or Wired, brought to you by JCPenney's.
Let's get into what is important. There is a new technology out. A Thiel fellow, if you know who Peter Thiel is, has launched a startup, and it allows parents to pick which embryos they want to incubate based on which ones have the best genes.
Huh.
And in a very early interview earlier this week, somebody pushed back and said, hey, isn't that eugenics?
Yeah.
Where, like, we get rid of the bad gene people just for the good gene people. The 29-year-old founder of the company, it's called Orchid, said, no, of course, it's not eugenics whatsoever. It allows parents to screen embryos to eliminate sad stories, like embryos that wouldn't be able to make it maybe all the way to birth, or embryos that could have later problems.
Oh, man.
And she said, look, for example, my mother is someone who suffered, she lost her sight in the middle of life because of a genetic problem, and she would have been able to avoid that. And somebody said, you know, so they would have screened your mom out and you wouldn't exist. And she said, no, I still would have had a mom. I'm here after all.
And your mom wouldn't have had you if it wasn't for the song by Ginuwine, right?
Something I don't understand is this girl graduated from Stanford and does not seem to understand the concept that she literally wouldn't exist if her grandparents were able to select genes.
Such is the power of excellent marketing.
I guess that so. Way, I think her problem is she's like, hey, will you please shut up? I'm not that far from becoming a millionaire.
Very, very rich because Peter Thiel likes to invest in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, Orchid.
Evil stuff sometimes.
This company, Orchid, they sequence embryos' entire genomes for $2,500 per embryo screen. So say you had 10 viable embryos when you were doing in vitro, then it would cost you an extra $25,000. She's only doing it for a secretive list of clientele so far, and that secretive list of clientele tend to be very
wealthy
people, right, who live in the San Jose area or what we call Silicon Valley.
Sure. And they're already trying to do weird stuff to keep themselves alive forever.
They're already cloning their dog Mitzi in things like that. Yeah,
exactly.
The millionaire who takes his own son's like blood injects it into it. That's weird stuff, dude.
The interviewer pushed back again and said, well, if you're just screening for good genes, I mean, that's a form of eugenics. And she said, no, that's it. You're misusing the word eugenics.
They just haven't come up with a brand name to call it that, you know, like gene-genics.
Or something that sounds fun. That's the whole thing. Yeah, you got to make it sound fun and healthy.
It's all how you spin it.
Here's a funny thing. They said, you know, it seems like you're doing eugenics. She said, no, look, when you examine something, you develop. We developed insulin, right? And that's great. Insulin is good. It's not like you're playing God. You're actually, you actually are, I guess. And you're creating something that didn't exist before.
Well,
you are.
I love that.
We play God all the time, and we love it.
I do love that. Not love,
that's what burning ants with a magnifying glass is. We're playing God.
I like that a lot of times they'll be like, well, look at what we've done with corn and what we've done with pigs. We've selectively breeded dogs, too. And it's like, man, that's food and pets. Humans is another weird issue. It's very bizarre when you start getting into this because it does have some creepy elements to it. Like, sure, there's the sake of, like, health and, a viable fetus coming forth. But then you start getting into the origins of it, which is the weird, you know, perfect human soldier kind of thing, breeding out other stuff, because it's frightening. And when someone wrong gets in control of it, we're not going to have any more Mr. Presidents, beloved dog that was a homunculi.
I know. And when I'm reading through this interview and then just seeing, I'm like, this person's 29. They sound 19 in the interview, but they're running this multi-bazillion dollar company. And it's making me wonder, has Silicon Valley kind of topped out? Did all of its greatest minds already go through? And now it's really just a place
they're
to go.
They're not doing as much LSD as they used to because they started busting down all the labs.
I disagree. I think they're doing too much.
No, they're doing other weird, like 2-3-BA tryptophan crap. They're not doing the real good organic stuff that brings wonderful, sweet, amazing inventions. Like having longer dongs. That's what science needs to go back to.
Well, technically, that's eugenics, actually.
Actually, that's eudonics.
Blah, blah. Great news, guys. I'm rich. I'm Tony Stark. I'm a war profiteer. Kind of, sort of.
Oh, congrats.
Yeah. Hey, you're welcome. I have been locked out of my 401k from my old company for a long time, and I finally got back in, and I did a dumb bit. Really dumb, but it kind of worked out. And I'll explain why I did and why it ultimately is kind of just turned out even, but... You know, we have 401ks at work. They give us money. They match it. We pay out of our checks. You put it in a mutual fund, something like that.
You think they match our 401k?
Oh, do
here?
We not even get a match?
There hasn't been matching here for over a decade, CJ.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Well, I'm paying money. And why don't we have pensions? Let's go work for the state where you get a pension, where you actually get good money you can use.
It's so funny.
The state drug tests, so... No.
Okay, never mind.
No thanks.
I'm a war profiteer and I'm wealthy because as a bit, I don't remember what conflict it was, but we found out we could get into our 401k and invest in certain mutual funds and stocks. And it might have been the Syrian crisis or something back in the day, but I was like, oh, well, I'm gonna switch mine to Raytheon and Northrop Grumman. And I've been putting all these like war manufacturers. And they shot up. They went up. I think mainly Raytheon got sold, and so that's what ballooned it. Surprisingly, I looked with this whole crisis in the Levant now, and we're not, all these like wartime stocks aren't really doing that well. I think I just made, I wanted this bit to be, hey, I invested in all this stuff, and I made a lot of money, but I got to be truthful. It's just because Raytheon sold and merged with something else. But isn't that kind of funny that I did that as a joke, making fun of war profiteering, and I actually made money in my 401k?
Well, why don't you take that money out and then donate it to like a service that tries to help people who have been, who need help in a war-torn area?
I can't decide what side I'm on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's sounds like you're tough. On the, sounds like you're on the side of money right now.
Or the war profiteering, you know?
Well, yeah, exactly. there's a lot of sub-Saharan conflict going on over minerals and the Russians' influence. But
don't you think that your $6.75 that you made that could really help out?
That?
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. You know, what I worry about, though, is this is all going to go away because... Have I told y'all the Enron story? You ever heard of Enron? A little company here in Houston?
What's that?
Of course I've heard of Enron.
Yes, I know what happened.
My father's...
They got Martha Stewart.
401k was kind of, illegally tied up into a hedge fund, a mutual fund, that was dumping money into Enron as like, it's all that stuff. So when Enron collapsed, he lost all of his retirement. And then his machining job was moved overseas.
Right.
So he had to go work at a prison for years until he retired. But hey, it was the state, so he got a pension.
Positive news. You remember when we very first started the show, you and I started Coinbase accounts, and we each bought $1 worth of Bitcoin?
Yes.
Which then went down to like 60 cents or something. Have you looked at it recently?
It's gone up and down. I also, at that
time... It's up to $15 in our... Well, we're up to 15 bucks, dude.
Well, not just that, but at the time, I also bought Ethereum, and that went up. And you want to hear something even more exciting? I bought Dogecoin, and one day, Twitter changed the logo to Doge, and our former lovely co-host, Emily, was like, oh my God, Elon changed the Twitter to the Doge dog. And I was like, he did? And I got online and sold like half of my Doge right away for like 70 bucks. You know what? We're just... Why are we trying to fight for the people when let's just be the man? Look at us making money.
I made enough on Bitcoin to buy a Whataburger.
That's it. It's exciting, though. It feels good.
Wait, the burger or the franchise?
Matt's the owner. That's why it sucks now. It's just funny, though, that I got into this and I was like, looking at like what I had invested in, I was like, why? And I was like, I did this as a bit. I totally did this as a bit, and now it turned to this. The sad thing is there's not a lot of money in there, and I can't take it out. They don't just give you your 401k. Did you know that? You can't have it.
You have to be over 65.
You can borrow it.
Do you not know any of the rules of your 401k?
I've learned it very sadly this week.
You don't know any real estate. You don't even treat it like real money if you're like, oh, here's something that's funny. As a joke, I'm going to invest in war profiteers. Yeah, yeah. You don't treat it like real money.
I don't. Here's
also,
the thing. It's
funny,
my money. I want
joke.
It now. Call J.G. Wentworth. That's who I need to invest in. But anyhow, my last lesson of financial advice to all of you is... don't invest in war profiteering. It's bad, and it didn't really go up that much. Number two, whenever your former radio company gives you a whole bunch of stock that they dump on you, and you save it because you think, oh, well, now I own stock now. Look at me. I own stock in my company, but all your managers sell it. Sell your stock. Sell your goddamn stock.
At CJ Morgan Show. Follow us online because the most important thing about radio is the internet.